finishes off in style. A magnificent strike into the crowd. India lift the World Cup after 28 years.
Remember Jagmohan Dalmia, considered to be one of the finest administrators of the game. The late Mr. Dalmia did quite a few notable things for world as well as Indian cricket. Chief among them were making Indian cricket the financial behemoth it is today, organizing the 1996 World Cup to a T, inventing the 1998 knockout trophy when ICC needed some money, and it later on became known as the Champions Trophy, which is now defunct as a tournament. He also brought in India's first overseas coach, John Wright, who oversaw the golden era in Indian cricket and thus paved the way for Gary Kirsten to come in and script the 2011 ODI World Cup success. There is something about BCCI's presidents from Bengal, isn't there? Following in Mr. Dalmia's footsteps is Sourav Ganguly, one of the finest Indian captains ever, if not the finest. And he is now at the helm of Indian cricket, making an impact already. He has been all business ever since he came on board, and his first cover drive through the offside seems like a godsend. India slated to play its first day-night test in November in Kolkata against Bangladesh. Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Hotspot. As we had said, it is a double whammy for you this week, since this is the second episode in less than 7 days. We hope you enjoy the previous one on Virat Kohli and Steve Smith, but we haven't run out of big bang ideas just yet. After vanquishing South Africa, India will quickly move to take on Bangladesh in November. Three T20s and two test matches and a whole lot to talk about. In today's episode, we are previewing the T20 series and discussing the big point in Indian T20 cricket, India's wicket-keeping options, as also the big breaking news from Bangladesh with the suspension of Shakib Ul Hasan. As always, I'm Chetan Narula, sports journalist and broadcaster, and with my co-host, who better to talk about Indian wicketkeepers than a former Indian wicketkeeper batsman himself, Deep Das Gupta. Hello, Deep, once again. Excited at the prospect of this series, especially that day-night test in Kolkata.
Thank you so much, Chetan. And listen, there's something about the Bengal weather, the air maybe, I guess, that produces people like Sourav and Mr. Dalmia and a few more. But having said that, wicketkeeper, that's an issue, especially in T20 format. So we're going to talk about that. And extremely excited about day and night. I still don't think we are ready for it, but I think we need to start somewhere. And I think it's a good start against Bangladesh.
To help discuss all of that in detail, where is Rishabh Pant? You know, he's from Delhi. He's played a lot of cricket in Delhi, and somebody who's seen him in his formative years, as also somebody who's seen Indian cricket develop, somebody who's seen Mr. Dalmia in action, somebody who's seen Sourav Ganguly as a player, as an Indian captain in action. We have a special guest on the show today. He is one of most senior and most well-respected names in Indian journalism, not just Indian cricket journalism, in Indian journalism, full stop. We have Vijay Lokpally from The Hindu, who's been a mentor to a lot of young journalists, including myself. Good evening, Vijay sir, and welcome to the show.
Yeah, good evening, Chetan. I'm so happy to be here because the fact that I'm speaking to you and Deep Das Gupta. Deep, I go back many, many years, days in Delhi at the National Stadium, Sardar Patel School. So I have a special relationship with Deep.
You mentioned about formative years of others. I mean, he's actually quite literally seen me grow, Vijay Bhai, there. So yeah, welcome, Vijay Bhai, and thank you for joining us.
I was actually just going to say that he's been my mentor in journalism, and he's actually seen you in your formative years, not just Rishabh Pant. I mean, he's been all over with journalists and cricketers, and it's just such a pleasure to have him on the show with us and get his opinion and his viewpoint on all the different matters or all the different topics that we have on this episode. So let's just get started immediately and dive into this episode. Well, apart from the big news about the first day-night test match, which is not going to be a first one only for Indian cricket, but also for Bangladesh cricket, there is another big news ahead of this tour, which has completely overtaken any excitement about any cricket on the field as of, as we speak, really. First, it was the strike of the Bangladesh players. But once it was resolved and the tour got a go-ahead, then came the big thunderbolt. Bangladesh's star player and the world's best all-rounder, Shakib Ul Hasan, has been banned for 2 years, 1 year in suspension and 1 year suspended sentence. So overall, a ban of 1 year owing to a failure. And this is the important point, failure in reporting contacts from bookies as far back as 2017. So the whole world of cricket is in shock because of this. Well, he's a star player. And of course, he's been part of multiple short form leagues, which is again an important point because these short format leagues all over the world are considered to be hotbeds for corruption malpractices. So Shakib Ul Hasan totally out of the Indian tour and of course Bangladesh cricket for the next year at least. A lot of turmoil with the strike and now this is coming to light. Bangladesh with a new T20 captain, a new test captain. Deep, coming first to you in this. A huge loss, shockwaves through the whole world, cricketing world, of course. Bangladesh are mad about their cricket. It's a cricket-mad country. Yes. If there is some comparison with Indian cricket, that's Bangladesh cricket for you. How disappointing and shocking is this development for Bangladesh cricket?
I think for cricketers per se, or the cricket fraternity as a whole, it is shocking. It is disturbing because he's not a youngster. He's not somebody who's just been around for a year or 6 months or something. He's been around for a while. He travels the whole world playing these private T20 tournaments. And him not reporting this approach by a bookie is actually criminal. And this is not just once. You mentioned about him being approached once, but he's been approached twice. Once, month of January, in a tri-series where there was Sri Lanka and Zimbabwe along with Bangladesh, and during last year's IPL as well. So it's not that he was approached once. He was approached twice over a period of 6 months' time, and he failed to let the authorities know both the times. And, you know, before every tournament, big or small, private or ICC-organized tournaments, there are this ACSU anti-corruption unit workshops where they make players aware of, you know, how people generally approach and what you need to do if somebody approaches, what's the procedure of informing the right concerned authorities and all that. I mean, it is kind of shocking that he did not let the anti-corruption people not just know about it, but he kind of replied to WhatsApp messages as well. For me, it's unpardonable. I mean, someone like Shakib, who's one of the leading cricketers in the world, it is unpardonable for me. I mean, you cannot say, I wasn't aware of it. Oh, yes, you were aware of it. Yes, you knew about it. You've attended enough of those workshops to know that you're supposed to let people know, the right authorities know when somebody approaches you. I'm shocked. I'm kind of disheartened by this thing. And he's not just let Bangladesh cricket fans down, his team down. I think he's also let the cricketing fraternity down, because what will happen is everyone, almost all cricketing fans or people who watch cricket, they'll start questioning. That is something that you don't want.
As far as back as 2017, which really puts a lot of things in perspective, not only the tri-series in January, but also the Indian Premier League, 2018 Indian Premier League. There were questions from the bookie regarding that. And the Indian Premier League has had its own set of troubles when it comes to bookies and betting and all that. It's only now starting to come out of all of that. And then, of course, Shakib has had a troubled past. He's been banned for 3 ODIs by the BCB. In 2014, he was banned. In 2018, he had an altercation in a hotel in Florida. So, you know, he's a big player. He's a big, big name in Bangladesh cricket. But at some level, you also wonder if there is a bit of a temperament problem, if this is a star getting too big for his shoes.
Yeah, a while ago, you said he's a big player. I don't think he's a big player. I think he's a poor player, a very poor role model, because he has hurt Bangladesh cricket, he has hurt international cricket, and he has taken everyone for granted. The way he has, if you look how his career has evolved, he has had issues at different points, different stages of his growing up in cricket. But this act will only show him in extremely poor light. Bangladesh cricket will take a while to recover. because I hope it is an isolated incident and there are not more cases waiting to be to see the light of the day where you discover there is so much of corruption happening. In Shakib's case, he had everything going for him. He helped Bangladesh he took it to a high pedestal with his performance in the last World Cup, and he was considered one quality international player in Bangladesh in any format, not just T20. He was such a wonderful test match cricketer. Yes, he's a star in his cricket system in Bangladesh, but he's an extremely poor role model, and it will take time for Bangladesh cricket, and even international cricket has been hurt. In various private leagues, we are hearing so much of rampant corruption. So now this has proved that T20 format probably needs a closer look.
We haven't really discussed about the one news that has come out of the UAE, the T20 World Cup qualifiers that are going on, and the UAE team itself, the host nation, has been hit by corruption charges. Two of their players suspended. One squad member actually left the country in the middle of the night because of these corruption allegations and everything. So whether it's associate cricket or whether it's now the big teams cricket, because Bangladesh is not a small team anymore. So, you know, cricket is going through a bit of a turmoil, not just any particular nation, cricket overall. And as you rightly said, Vijay sir, and also Deep, you smiled at that comment that, you know, you're the right one. T20, a hotbed of corruption. Can you just shed some light on that, Deep?
I mean, I agree with Vijay Bhai about this, because the fact is every delivery in the shorter the format, every delivery becomes an event. So whatever happens, whether it's a boundary, whether it's a dot ball, it's an event. So for example, a T10 now, I mean, there's a T10 tournament. So every delivery becomes extremely important. So test matches, it doesn't matter. One maiden over does not matter. But in T20, one dot ball matters. And especially, you're talking about an 18th over, 19th over, two dot balls. That's where I think you put more emphasis on each and every delivery. The value of those each deliveries are a lot more. That's where I think, and I completely agree with Vijay Bhai and Chetan, that you should look into the shorter formats a lot closer in terms of how you can stop this. Because the worst scenario, I mean, the worst thing about this is the fact that apart from the guy who approaches and the player involved, nobody else knows about it. You can't go out there and prove anything, right? If tomorrow somebody says, no, I didn't do it, you can't prove it. That's where I think the onus is on the cricketers themselves to make sure things like these don't happen. Especially senior players. So it is important for the senior players to set the right example to make sure the dressing room environment is right, where none of this is, nobody even thinks about it.
Just to interject you here, you know, he's got a 1 year ban. I mean, 2 year ban, but one year is a suspended sentence. So overall, I mean, he's 32. He'll be back when he's 33. In a way, is he a bit lucky that he got a mild sentence only because the approaches weren't reported? Because, you know, we in cricket, we have a system. Just bear with me. In cricket, we have a system where corrupt practices and corrupt players have been punished in the past, but they have made their way back into the system.
Because all this is not a criminal offense. And this is my point. And I've said this before. I think spot fixing, all this should be made a criminal offense where people will have to serve jail time if they're found guilty. And importantly, I think it's also important to mention that Shakib was not found guilty of fixing or anything. He's been found guilty of not reporting the approach. So I think also we've got to draw a line there somewhere in the sand. But having said that, it is important because, like I mentioned, it is only the person who's approached and the person who's approaching who's aware of it. I mean, it is incumbent on the players to report, and as you mentioned, 2.4.4 of the anti-corruption code, which is this all about. The minimum is 6 months and the maximum is 5 years. So he actually, for me, got away with only 1 year of ban.
Yeah.
I mean, the maximum is 5 years in this case.
Well, that would have been probably the end of Shakib as a player. Even this upcoming year would be a tough one for him. And obviously, as Vijay sir pointed out, we need to find out, or even as Deep pointed out, we need to find out how deep is this rot in Bangladesh cricket or in cricket anywhere else. On this topic, just a last question to you, Vijay sir. Can you shed some light how Indian cricket recovered at the turn of the millennium? We had somebody as strong as Sourav Ganguly leading Indian cricket then. Or what hope does Bangladesh cricket has of recovering when you have such a big name player being suspended like this?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. See, Bangladesh cricket they don't have a player of Sourav's stature.
Yeah.
And when Sourav took over, he was given the job because the BCCI thought he was the right man. He has always played with high integrity. He never came to play cricket to make money out of it. And he had such a passion to play the sport. And when he was given this responsibility, he had so many seniors in the team. A credit to him. He raised a team of fighters. He backed young cricketers, and Deep knows it very well. He backed cricketers outside his zone. You know, normally it's been the trend that captains tend to promote players from their zone. But here was one man who picked players from Punjab, from Mumbai, from Baroda, and where not, from Delhi. So maybe players in Bengal would have thought, Dada has not been kind to them, but no, he was picking the best, and that's the time Deep also would remember. He made his international debut, and it was his leadership that helped India come out of that very, very dark phase. And it was not easy, believe me. Going on tours, I remember once I had criticized the team, and Sourav said, "Please, it is your team. It is my team. We have to come out of this this negative mindset which has creeped in because of the match fixing scandal." So full credit to him. It took a while, but they came out on the basis of performances. The team performed very well. If you remember, to Kenya in 2000 and finishing runner-up, we should have won the title. Yes, but some one innings by Chris Gaines denied India the ICC championship, that mini World Cup they used to call it.
Yeah.
So
yes,
I think Deep, we should give credit to Sourav, and it's good time for Indian cricket to again have Sourav back, but not as a captain, as an administrator.
So very, very vital point there from Vijay, sir, about Bangladesh cricket perhaps lacking that figurehead of somebody like Sourav Ganguly. Or maybe they do, we don't know, because they have two new captains in their setup, which is going to be a topic of discussion in the next segment of this episode as we look to preview the T20 series up next. So looking at the T20 series next, Bangladesh looking for leaders. And of course, you have somebody like Shakib who's missing. He was the captain of both the T20 and the Test sides. Tamim Iqbal, who's already pulled out from the tour before this turmoil began in Bangladesh cricket. Mohammad Saifuddin, who's a big player for them as well. He's missing. You have somebody like Mustafizur Rahman, who is available for the T20s as well as the Test. So that's a bit of a good news for Bangladesh cricket at the moment. But they have two new captains. First of all, we'll talk about the T20 series. So Mohammad Abdullah, who's been a very useful player in the middle order. He's a good bat, very dependable batsman, attacking batsman for Bangladesh. Cannot really compare that Sourav Ganguly personality with Mohammadullah. But again, Deep, this has got to be the start of a new chapter. Mohammadullah has to go into that dressing room and say, okay, we need to move on, and we need to move on in a positive light.
As Vijay Bhai mentioned, I don't see a personality like that. The other important thing, remember, in 2000 was the fact that it was Mr. Dalmia and Sourav together. Yeah. Right? It'll be unfair to just mention Sourav and not mention Mr. Dalmia in kind of backing Sourav into what he wanted to do. So I think that's where there is a disconnect in Bangladesh cricket, and I've been seeing it for a while. I've kind of closely followed Bangladesh cricket. They've got this whole generation of young, talented cricketers, but there was this massive disconnect between the cricketers and the cricket administrators in Bangladesh. They keep changing the administrators, but it never there was a sink between these two. And I don't see that sink even here now, especially after what happened a week ago with all the players going on strike and all. I can assure you Bangladesh administrators will try their best to kind of pull every possible senior who was seen in that press conference hands down. So I don't see that happening. So it is going to be very, very challenging times for Bangladesh cricket. But I have to mention the fact that there is a lot of talent in Bangladesh. It's just that, you know, they had a good coach in Hathrua Singhe. They let him go. They had issues with him. That's besides the point. They had Steve Rhodes there. He's a good coach. Now they have Domingo, the ex-South African coach now. But the point is, if you're not going to empower them, it's no use. You've got Mahmudullah, who is a very good cricketer. Someone like Mahmudullah, who got two back-to-back hundreds in 2015 World Cup, post that is batting at number six in 50 overs cricket. I mean, who does that? So my point is, they need to empower, like the BCCI then had empowered Saurav and say, you know what, this is your team.
Oh, Saurav and John Wright.
So go ahead, do what you have to do. I'll back you. I mean, there's a reason why Indian cricket has been so successful, especially the last decade and all. Saurav and the BCCI president there, Mr. Dalmia, then it was MS Dhoni, then it was Rahul for a certain period of time, and now it is Virat. So I think there has to be this sync which is missing in Bangladesh cricket, and till that time they have this thing going together, I don't see Bangladesh cricket recovering or actually being as good as it should be.
Which is a very interesting point that you mentioned, that you see the board going after every senior player that was seen in that sort of a revolt. 9 of the 11 senior players were there. If you're going after your senior players, I mean, that's such a huge gap between where the board is, what the priority for the Bangladesh cricket board is, and what's the priority for Bangladesh cricket ahead. This episode with Shakib could not have come at a worse time for Bangladesh cricket. Touching on that, Steve Rhodes sacked after the World Cup, Deep, Russell Domingo in place, underlines very high expectations in Bangladesh. It was a rain-impacted tournament for them. They punched their weight a bit in the World Cup, beat South Africa, but still only four teams can make it. This reaction of firing Steve Rhodes was justified? Or maybe because they thought, okay, we have a better coach available in Russell Domingo?
No, I think Hathrua Singhe was also sacked after that, right? So Hathrua Singhe had a...
He was not sacked. He left, I believe.
Okay. No. He left to coach Sri Lanka, but post-World Cup, either he was sacked or he left Sri Lankan coaching. I mean, because he's not coaching anyone right now. So I believe, I think Vijay Bhai will be able to inform us more about this. But I think there was this conversation that happened where BCB was like, okay, we can get Hathrua Singhe back. But there were some issues, so couldn't get him back. And then Domingo came in. So I think because he had something going. If you look at those year and a half or 2 years of Bangladesh under Hathrua Singh's coaching, they were doing well. They saw youngsters coming through, people like Mominul Haq, people like Litton Das and all these guys, Shomir Sarkar. These guys came in through the ranks. He would actually go to all these districts and pick up young cricketers, get them to the high performance center in Dhaka. So there was this process which was followed. But then obviously the president changed, and then he left for Sri Lanka. Bangladesh allowed him to leave. I don't know why. I mean, when he was doing such a great job.
He put in a request to coach his home country.
Sri Lankan side. Yeah.
But the point about is that, you know, Rhodes was sacked after the World Cup. Tough call. And to put Russell Domingo in place with all of this happening, very, very tough call.
It is tough on any coach. I mean, give him someone 6 months and expect, you know, the sky and the stars and the moon from him. That's not fair. I mean, he's not Harry Potter. I mean, he's a coach.
Potter will also have a bit of trouble coaching any cricket team in this world at the moment.
Yeah, and if he doesn't have his wand with him.
Bangladesh T20 side looking a bit lightweight. You look at that squad, you recognize Mahmudullah, Litton Das, Soumya Sarkar, Mushfiqur Rahim, Mossaddegh Hussain. Apart from that, Mustafizur Rahman, Mohammad Mithun. I mean, it's an upcoming team. Yes, they have Rahim and Mustafizur who have played a lot of cricket in India. You have Litton Das, Soumya Sarkar, Mahmudullah, good batsmen. But again, a bit of a lightweight team. And it is not a stretch to say that India obviously will start favourites. A few changes for India as well. The big one, of course, Virat Kohli rested. Rohit Sharma is leading. Vijay sir, good call for Virat Kohli to have a bit of a rest here. It was too much non-stop cricket. He's had a few issues relating to his back, a couple of fielding injuries here and there. So good time to have, say, 10 days off. Go celebrate his birthday on November 5. You know, too much cricket, just a break for the Indian captain.
Yeah, I agree. Too much of cricket, and this break should serve him well, because I'm not saying that you don't need Virat Kohli against Bangladesh, because what Deep said, you must remember, Bangladesh is awesomely talented. Suddenly you will find a couple of world-class players in T20, because the format is such. In a couple of overs, you discover a new hero. I expect it to be a good series. Remember, India will be without Hardik Pandya, Virat Kohli, Bhuvneshwar is not there. So, I don't know, Deep, if I can say it could be a 50-50 series if Bangladesh plays to its potential. I'm happy Virat has taken a break because you do become stale. Let him watch this team from outside, you know, where he is not involved in finalizing the 11 or preparing the 15 for forthcoming series. So let him just take his mind off cricket for some time. And also, I think, Deep, it would be the best time for Indians also to assess the team for future. Of course, Virat will be there, but you have to take a call on who are your potential players for the future.
True. And I don't know, Chetan and Vijay Bhai, you both will agree. What I really like about Virat's these decisions of taking a rest is it's always for a T20 or a one day. It's never for a test match. I don't know what you both think of it, but I think it's wonderful for a modern day cricketer to say, you know what, I need a break, but I'm not going to take a break while a test match is on. I'm going to take a break while a T20 or one day is on because I value test match more than T20. I think that's the message that he's sending to everyone for the last few years. And I think that is wonderful in this day and age where everyone's talking about T20 cricket.
He's promoting test cricket, and again, Saurav, when he said that you have to look at centers where he is pained, that Virat Kohli is batting in front of nobody watching, empty stands. I mean, that is not fair to his cricket.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. But obviously, I mean, there are more practical issues which are involved. But he's bringing back that test match feel again amongst players, making it more valuable. And that is important. I mean, if end of the day, if you have the big names in the sport playing test match cricket, automatically, as Vijay Bhai mentioned, if you get a call saying, you know what, Virat is on strike right now and Firoz Shah Kotla, your office is a kilometer or 5 kilometers away from it, you'll at least make an effort. Okay, let's go and watch Virat bat live. That's what is, I really, really love it when Virat says, you know what, I'm going to play test match cricket, even if I have to miss a few one days and T20 in between.
I'll tell you what, Deep and Vijay sir, my brother, who doesn't really watch too much cricket, and he's like, okay, you know, it's a good idea to have the day-night test matches because at least people in Calcutta who get free from work very quickly around 4-5, they'll be happy to watch the last two sessions very, very, very happily at Eden Garden. So if he says that, then I'm pretty sure that there'll be others who are more cricket-oriented who will definitely own up to the idea of day-night test cricket, which we will talk about in detail in the next episode before the test series. But for now, there's something very interesting Vijay sir said, that, you know, Virat can look at this team from the outside, which I think is a very important factor considering the World T20 next year, because they are still building this T20 side. I feel India doesn't know what its best 11 is. They're missing a few heavyweight players. So let's talk about this thing of looking from the outside. We always look from the outside. Two wrist spinners back in the mix. Chahal is back. At some point, one of Yuzvendra Chahal or Kuldeep Yadav was going to come back. It becomes a bit of an interesting call. You have Washington Sundar, Chahal, Rahul Chahar, Krunal Pandya. Deep, what's really happening here? Chahal gives you a bit more control with this economy, so obviously he's back. Mm-hmm. Kuldeep Yadav tends to be a bit expensive at times. Two leg spinners, you know, how do you deal with it? How do you balance this?
This is interesting because last couple of tests, as in T20 series, there was a shift in the approach where suddenly Team India was looking at batting deep, batting as deep as number 9, 10, playing a lot of all-rounders, if you may call them. But suddenly, in this side, if you see, as you mentioned, two leg spinners, right? You got two leg spinners. They obviously got Shivam Dubey in there, who's an all-rounder himself. It'll be interesting to see if there is a change in the approach again. Are we going back to, you know, getting proper 4-5 bowlers and batsmen? And yeah, if you're lucky enough, then you have a couple of all-rounders in there as well thrown in. But getting proper bowlers, because I actually want to see that. Because obviously, last two T20 series, it was predominantly a lot of all-rounders playing, and you know, the mindset was like, you know what, we will score 200 or you score 200, we'll chase down 200, we bat deep and all that. So it's interesting to see under a different captain in terms of Rohit, who is going to lead this series. It's interesting what approach does Indian team follow now.
big target chasing. That didn't really work out. Obviously, they didn't really play in those ideal batting conditions in West Indies or even in India. You know, chasing big target thing didn't really happen. South Africa also won a T20 quite easily. I mean, smashed the Indian bowling. Quinton de Kock smashing the bowling very happily. Vijay sir, Chahal and Kuldeep, everybody said, okay, they are being discarded, like Ashwin and Kuldeep were discarded. Ashwin and Jadeja were discarded from the ODI setup. But Chahal is back now. Is there a surprise there? Because we've seen in the past, captains prefer bowlers at times who they have played with regularly. Sachin did it a lot. Sourav Ganguly, as you mentioned, didn't do that. He picked up cricketers from everywhere. Maybe extend this analogy here. Virat and Chahal have been together at Royal Challengers Bangalore. Not surprising that Chahal comes back to the side.
Yeah, definitely not. I mean, Chahal has proved his credentials. But here, Deep, I'm more fascinated by Shardul Thakur. Just now said, captain wanting his own bowler. So here, Rohit from Bombay and Shardul from Bombay because, or Mumbai, if I should be, I should say. 3 years ago, Deep, I remember Shardul was injured, Kumble was the coach. And Kumble, I was sitting with him and he spent a good 20 minutes on the phone. And then I asked him, I said, who were you talking to? He was talking to Shardul, who was injured and not in the squad. So Kumble had this habit of spending more time with cricketers who are not in the 15, getting them to, keeping them in the loop, encouraging them. So Shardul Thakur, I'm a bit surprised that he is made it to this team. And if you see, Deep, you may call me, I think you will definitely call me old-fashioned. Except for Rohit Sharma, you tell me one player from this squad who can qualify to play a test match?
True, I can't. Even though going what you just mentioned about Shardul, it was also unfortunate. He just bowled, two balls on his test debut? That was really unfortunate.
Last year.
Two deliveries on his debut against West Indies. But I completely agree. So this is this new approach, Vijay Bhai, which I think which is good in a way because for the longest time, say post 2007 to even till last year, we did not differentiate between ODI and T20 cricket. We just followed ODI cricketers and said, you know what, he's a good wide ball cricketer, irrespective of ODI or T20. Let's pick him for both the formats. I think the last 6 odd months, there has been a conscious decision by the team management and the selectors to pick T20 specialists, not ODI guys who can play T20, but T20 per se specialist. Would you agree, both of you?
Absolutely. I think absolutely. I mean, you look at players like Deepak Chahar, who's done well in the IPL. He's come into contention. And you're looking not just at bowlers. You're looking at certain, not just pacers, really. You're looking at Shivam Dubey. He's again, a connection there because, he's played for Royal Challengers Bangalore and he's done well and he's coming into the side.
He's also from Mumbai.
He's also from Mumbai. So both Rohit and Virat Kohli, really happy to bring him in. Hardik Pandey, of course, missing out at the moment. Navdeep Saini, he's done well. You look at Krunal Pandya, who's done so well in T20 cricket, IPL cricket. Shreyas Iyer, who's the captain of Delhi Daredevils, obviously. And you look at Sanju Samson, who's been consistent and he'll obviously be a topic of debate for us as well. So a lot of these players, and when they're building up the World T20, a lot of these players have actually done well in IPL. You know, in the past 2-3 years or even 4-5 years, we've seen IPL give a lot of players opportunities in the ODI setup. You know, you look at Hardik Pandya or you look at Jasprit Bumrah. You know, they've made their name in the IPL and then they've been given the opportunity to come into ODI setup, maybe even go on to the test team. But now, suddenly, there is this big focus on getting as many T20 names as possible, which we see in the terms of pace attack as well. Bhuvi is continuing to be out. We have Saini, who played 2 series and now he's out because they want to try other names. You have Khalil coming back. And as you mentioned, Shardul Thakur, he doesn't have a very good white ball record in terms of at least the few ODI or T20 matches he's played. So again, a surprising selection for me. Vijay sir, can you shed a bit more light on his recall?
I think he's gotten because Navdeep Saini is injured.
Yeah.
Saini hasn't gone out because of non-performance. It'll take a while for him to come back. But this emphasis on T20 is obviously keeping in mind the forthcoming World Cup. this focus is on T20 is also, I think, call of the time. Everyone wants to watch a result-oriented game, and yes, the T20 provides you that. And it is like everyone says, going to a cinema. In 3 hours, you watched a good movie.
True.
With a lot of action. So, Thakur, he gave me a lot of promise, but he has had his injury issues. So, I think, Deep, I have been reading that our injury management in India is yeah, not up to the mark. I mean, they I don't know who is at fault, the NCA or the BCCI, the policies. Till now, COA was there, so maybe Saurav will have a big role to play here along with Rahul Dravid. They have to look at this injury management process more minutely.
That's a very important issue that Vijay Bhai has touched upon, because you know what, it might seem obvious or easy to get bowlers, especially for T20, but I don't know, Vijay Bhai and Chetan, both of you watch a lot of domestic cricket as well, but I find more red ball ready bowlers than white balls.
Yes.
Navdeep Saini, Siraj, you know, all these youngsters coming to Shardul, they are red ball ready, but I'm not too sure about their white ball readiness at this point in time. So even though there's so much of T20 and IPL and everything's been played, but surprisingly, you know, you can actually count 5 red ball bowlers right now, and you can play any two of them out of 5 and they'll do well. But you can't, apart from maybe Bumrah and Bhuvi, both of them are injured, you can't name me 2 more fast bowlers who will walk into this side at this point in time.
Which probably explains the experimentation or the merry-go-round. We've had a lot of merry-go-round with the number 4 in ODI cricket. Right now, it's the time for merry-go-round in the pace department as concerns T20 cricket. As Deep Das Gupta underlines, India has a lot of red ball bowlers in the pace department. Perhaps apart from Bhuvi and Bumrah, not too many options in white ball cricket, which is a bit of an explanation for this experimentation in the pace department. It'll be interesting to see what sort of balance Rohit Sharma and Ravi Shastri hit upon in these 3 T20s. Considering that, because there's also the batting angle and the wicket-keeping angle, we will move on quickly to the main theme of this episode. Wicket-keepers, batsmen wicket-keepers, and of course, present and past and the future and the big question mark that dangles over Indian cricket. Well, during the second test in Pune between India and South Africa, there was this moment where everyone was talking about how Rishabh Pant was losing heavily. And not only because Riddhiman Saha was excellent behind the wickets with his glove work and also with the bat in front of the stumps. There was also Sanju Samson, who stroked a double 100 in List A cricket. He was playing the Vijay Hazare Trophy. On expected lines, he was selected for this T20 series against Bangladesh, especially with a full-time batsman missing in Virat Kohli. But it is interesting enough mix because you have KL Rahul there, you have Manish Pandey also in the mix. First up in this big, big main theme of this episode, the wicketkeeper batsman conundrum for the Indian T20 side, which will define the balance of their T20 playing 11 in this series as well as going ahead. Deep, let's talk Pant. We spoke about him in our first episode because it's the prevalent topic. It was the preview of the India-South Africa series. It's also a very relevant topic right now. We discussed in that episode that he should take some time off, go and play domestic cricket away from the limelight. He hasn't played a game since that T20 series. He was not released to play domestic cricket. Was that an opportunity missed? Or it might have helped him that, you know, he's not playing cricket. He's just as an extra in the side, still away from the limelight.
Yeah, I can understand why he wasn't released, to be honest, because obviously the new sub rule that is in place now, obviously he came out to keep for half a session or a session during this test series. So yeah, I mean, I understand that. But important part is what MS Kirprasad, the chairman of selectors, had to say. I mean, he said in as many words that they have faith in Rishabh and they will back him. So at this point in time, I think it's going to be Rishabh who will again get to keep wickets. But there are quite a few. I mean, Sanju Samson, yes. But again, you both watch a lot more, especially Vijay Bhai watches a lot more and he's the domestic cricket expert. My only problem with Sanju Samson is he's a very reluctant wicketkeeper. KL Rahul keeps more for Karnataka than Sanju Samson for Kerala. So every time I see KL Rahul playing white ball cricket for Karnataka. 8 out of 10 times he's got his wicket keeping gloves on. You know, for me, and what I see of Kale in IPL as well, mind you, you have Mujib, someone like Mujib to keep to, who can be a tricky customer, and he's been very safe. I'm not saying he's been spectacular, but he's been very safe. And look at Kale. I mean, look at his batting, right? I mean, this is a format where you wouldn't mind a batsman wicketkeeper, right? So that's where, look at Kale's numbers in the last year or so in white ball cricket, especially T20, and you don't have a place for him. Now, if I'm saying Rishabh does not, again, Rishabh is your first choice wicketkeeper, as the chairman selection committee mentioned. But if he does not grab his opportunity, I think Kale is not a bad option at all.
We'll brush upon Sanju Samson and KL Rahul in just a second, as Deep pointed out. Mm-hmm. But first, we'll talk a little bit more about Rishabh Pant. Vijay sir, in 2019, Pant has batted at number 4 in 9 out of last 10 T20s India have played. In this time, he scored 168 runs, averaging 21, the strike rate of 125. The big scores which you expect from a number 4 batsman haven't really come. The maneuvering of the innings hasn't really come. Are they giving him a lot more responsibility at number 4? Is that the right spot for him? Does he have the temperament to handle that responsibility?
I think what you said, it's about his temperament, because I would also like to say one thing, that Rishabh Pant came on a very strong wave, that he was known to play some extraordinary strokes, and he was a very fearless batsman who didn't have this fear of failure. So it is good to have such a batsman always, who is not worried about getting out. So if there is a ball to be hit, first ball, he will do it. But all the string of failures put tremendous pressure on him. And I have a feeling that he didn't have anyone to speak to. Because when you are going through a bad form, you have to have somebody to guide you. And here, I think, of course, Ravi Shastri is there, Virat Kohli, but none of them, they have not batted at number 4. So you have to understand that what goes on in a number 4 batsman's mind, you will have to be a number 4 batsman yourself. So I don't know if Rishabh has had an opportunity, because poor guy, he's now today so withdrawn. Sometimes I feel he's lonely, not able to express himself. So it is... Again, he will be, whenever he walks out to bat, at whatever position he walks out to bat, he is going to be under tremendous pressure. Good selectors have backed him, but like you said, I've seen him. He's always batted like this, and he should bat like this.
I have to ask a follow-up question here, Vijay sir, because you mentioned that he's lonely. First question to you is that, where is the role of the batting coach here? You know, Sanjay Bangar, the batting coach, Vikram Rathod. Obviously, Vikram Rathod has just joined. So we'll see what sort of impact he has on Rishabh in this upcoming series. And my second question to you here is, somebody like KL Rahul, he was in bad form, so he was left out of the side. He goes back to domestic cricket, played List A matches. Vijay Hazare, but he was playing. And you look at KL Rahul's form, he scored in the last 10 matches he's played, 550s and 100 without anybody watching him. So do you think Pant maybe would have benefited if he would have been released from this test squad, gone back, played some Vijay Hazare or List A or club cricket, scored a few runs, get those big shots in, get that confidence back in? So how are we handling Pant? Is Indian cricket handling Pant the right way?
Yeah, he is being handled the right way. But what do you do? I mean, if I was Rishabh Pant, I will go to Ravi Shastri and say, ki, sir, may I go back and play for Delhi? Because it will allow me a match practice. So did he make an effort? You will have to, if he had gone to the team management and requested, they would have allowed him, and why not? But this thing about batting coach, Deep, whenever you had problems, how many times will you go to a batting coach? You will always go back to your basics. You will always go back to your earlier coaches, your coaches of your formative years, because they will be the best to tell you where you have gone wrong. Not any number of visits to laptop video analyst. Yes, he will tell you a specific number of deliveries where you didn't play well, where you played well, where you didn't play well. But as far as batting coach is concerned, I think at that level, a batsman, Deep, I'm sure you should correct me if I'm wrong, he knows what mistake he's making. But how do you rectify that mistake is what the batting coach has to do. So I don't know if here Sanjay Bangar has been able to do it, or Vikram Rathod is very new. Vikram Rathod's game is, he himself was a fantastic stroke player. So let us wait and see how Rathod guides Rishabh Pant. He has He's giving him a lot of time, I've been told. So I hope we'll see a resurgent Rishabh Pant in this series.
So the biggest challenge, if I may add here, is what both Vijay Bhai and Chetan, you mentioned, both of you, is it's the mind game. Because as Vijay Bhai mentioned a while ago, till the time he actually, if you leave the last year aside, he has not seen the downside of the sport. Remember when he came in as this big guy from under 19, blasted through under 19. Ranji Trophy, blasted through Ranji Trophy. Test match cricket, 200s in Australia and England. But that last 1 year, I don't think he's faced anything like what he has in the last year in his life, you know, and now, I mean, cricket is like, it's predominantly everyone's on social media, and we all know how much people get trolled on social media. So the challenge for him is going to be the mental side of it, whether he still is as fearless as he was 2 years ago, or is he going to be a little more fearful now, a little more wary about playing his shots now? I mean, that's the difference. The difference is what your mind tells you. Either your mind tells you, you know what, if I play one bad stroke, okay, these guys are going to talk about me, let's not play it. So that's the difference between you being fearless and you being a little cautious and wary. So you got to be cautious, but then you can't be overcautious. And that's where I think the challenge will be. And that's where it is important to go back to your old coach, which I believe I've heard that he's gone back to Tariq Sinha sir, which is Ustadji is his coach. Because it is not about just about seeing him growing up, but also his mentality and temperament, because it is important to communicate. You can only communicate with another guy when you know that person's temperament. You know, how do you get through to that guy? What will I say will make that person understand? You know, because everyone has walls, and especially cricketers, they have these walls around them. It's very difficult to pierce through those walls. And you got to say the right words to get through that wall. And that's where I think it's very important to know the person before you start coaching them.
An interesting point about mind game there, Deep, because here's a question, you know, that I want to throw in here in this conversation now. Because in a way, you look at this Indian team, there are three potential wicket keepers in there. You have KL Rahul, you have Rishabh Pant, and you have Sanju Samson. So when you bring in Sanju Samson, because he's done well, yes, Virat is not there. So you also need to have an extra backup batsman. And you said that, okay, Samson is perhaps not that interested in keeping and all, but looking at both what KL Rahul and Sanju Samson have done in the last month or so, Sanju Samson in the Vijay Hazare did not keep the wickets to start off with. In the last three matches, he kept wickets for Kerala. Okay, KL Rahul, he did not keep wickets for Karnataka in Vijay Hazare to start off with. In the last four matches, he kept wickets. So, A, I wonder if there was a message that had gone to both of them. Okay, listen, get your pads on, because there might be a need of a wicketkeeper batsman in the Indian T20 side. And B, does the selection of Samson and Rahul as wicketkeeper batsman say to Rishabh Pant, MSK Prasad says the spot is still yours, the opportunity is still yours, but look, start making it count, because we also have other options. Because you look at Sanju Samson, he's been consistent in this format, not that great an average, but still consistent. KL Rahul, he's a special batsman. The Indian team management really, really likes him. Vijay sir, first of all, your opinion. Does this send a message to Pant? Okay, listen, start making those opportunities count.
Yeah, I think, Deep, I look at KL Rahul as a far more consistent wicketkeeper in the times to come, because he has been told he's keeping wickets precisely as Chetan said. There's a message which has gone to him. And suddenly, when KL Rahul started keeping, Sanju Samson also took on the gloves and took to wicketkeeping. So he also got his message indirectly. But I would any day love to play Sanju Samson as a pure batsman. Forget his wicketkeeping. And KL Rahul, yes, the way Rahul Dravid was groomed by Sourav Ganguly, because he knew this, he needed his batting. And credit to Rahul Dravid, how he adapted and he took to wicketkeeping. In the process, he must have finished off some wicketkeepers who trembled playing for India. So I think here, yes, KL Rahul will be, he is very, very good. And from what I've heard on domestic cricket, Deep, I would like to share with you that Sanju Samson is probably the best batsman when it comes to rotating the strike. He's a very intelligent batsman who knows how to adapt, and he does it very quickly. definitely Rishabh Pant is clearly under pressure, and I don't want to add to the pressure by saying that very soon we are going to have a new selection committee.
says a lot there, Vijay sir.
He's added another dimension to this. Okay, while we're talking about wicketkeeper batsman, let's not forget the fact that MS Dhoni has not retired.
Both of you mentioned something. I want to allude to that. You mentioned MS Dhoni. Vijay sir mentioned that there's going to be a new selection committee very soon. Let's come to the big picture. Well, of course, MSK Prasad right now, same page as the BCCI president. Saurav Ganguly says Dhoni will be respected. Does that mean one farewell series? Because Kohli comes into the press conference and says, okay, you know, we respect MS Dhoni and he is going to be an asset as long as he's available. And Deep, he is available. He's not announced his retirement. He's not playing yet. But do you think MS Dhoni's big hope right now is a new selection committee?
I don't know that one, because there are a lot of things which needs to fall in place. One of the things is he has to have a good Syed Mushtaq Ali. I don't think he's going to play Ranji Trophy. So whatever is left is the other trophy he's not playing. So there's Syed Mushtaq Ali, which is left, and obviously IPL, which he will do well. He traditionally has very good IPLs over the last 12 years, which he will. But the point here is, how is the team seeing this whole thing, and what is MSK? I don't see a farewell. I mean, whatever little I know of MSD, I don't think, I'll be very surprised if he agrees to a farewell. He'll be like, you know what, okay, this is done, I'm done with this. Rather than saying, okay, I'll play a farewell series. I'll be very surprised if he agrees to a farewell series, so to say.
Vijay sir, do you agree? At this moment, MS Dhoni, he's not retired, but what is he holding on for? Or is there a chance? Do you see him playing international cricket for India again? Let's maybe say, okay, he will not play ODIs. He's already retired from tests. Do you see him playing T20 internationals for India again?
Deep has said it beautifully. He will not accept a farewell series. And if he's not going to accept a farewell series, how is he going to come into the squad? He's not playing any cricket at all, competitive cricket. So you can't just pick and choose like this. I don't think the cricket fraternity, even the new selection committee will allow this, that a player who has not played any competitive cricket for 6 months can just walk into the squad on the basis of his past reputation. He's been a great player, no doubt. But in his heart of heart, he knows that he will not be fair by demanding a place in the squad. And which series, which farewell series are you talking about? After this this Bangladesh series, you're going to play Australia, Sri Lanka, New Zealand. He's not going to get a series on a platter like that. I don't think cricket fans would also appreciate, you know, and we don't have a system, Deep, of according a big player a farewell series or allowing him to pick up his last test or last match. Ashish Nehra was lucky. Virat organized it for him. And Sachin Tendulkar, yes, his stature demanded he play his last test match in Wankhede. So otherwise, I'm sure we would have been building a new Wankhede stadium without Sachin. So would he play the 200 test match at Wankhede against the West Indies? We all knew. And Deep, if you remember, Ian Healy was not given a farewell series, but Steve Waugh was given a farewell series. And the players in the Australian team, honestly, they did not like it because the whole focus was on Steve Waugh in the series. Because it's last series. So I don't think that is going to happen here. We can expect MS Dhoni, one of the greatest cricketers to have played the game, to play his last match in CSK colours.
Well, that's a big, big call from Vijay sir. And of course, he's the one to know all things about MS Dhoni. He's seen him from his formative years. One final question for you, Vijay sir, in this episode. Today, we have a young lot of wicket keepers, Sanju Samson. Well, maybe not keeping wickets. You have Rishabh Pant, who's the future. If at this stage, you said he has nobody to talk to, I'm sure because we saw pictures of him speaking with MS Dhoni, spending time at his farmhouse. At this stage, how does or what does Pant need to learn from MS Dhoni to fill those big shoes, to fill this big responsibility of being the wicketkeeper batsman that Indian cricket is looking for?
First of all, he should forget filling up the shoes. It will never happen. Because MS Dhoni...
Brilliantly said.
That will never happen. So, best thing I think, not because Deep is here, Deep understands he has played so much of domestic cricket. He has seen ups and downs. He will be the best man. You know what happens, Chetan, is you don't necessarily have to go to MS Dhoni to know about wicket keeping. You go to Deep Das Gupta, have a quiet chat with him. He will tell you so many things which MSD will not be able to tell you because he has tasted success. So Deep has had to, players like Deep have had to battle to come into the team, keep the place. And he, when he went back, he lost his place. He played domestic with same intensity. So that is what I liked about him. And not because we are on the same show, it will not be a bad idea for Deep himself to pick up the phone, call up Rishabh Pant and tell him a few things.
Deep, do you agree? Just go back to domestic cricket and play some big shots, get that confidence back in. Because we all love watching Rishabh Pant bat and hit those big sixes. But maybe just just balance it with his temperament a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the thing is, by the way, Vijay Bhai, I've already done that.
Good.
do you want to reveal what you said to Rishabh Deep? Come on, it'll be a huge excuse.
Not really. But my job is if I can help someone, I mean, that's more than enough. But what Vijay Bhai mentioned is so true, is that he has to find his own way. You can give him options. I can give him two options. MSD can give him three options. Chetan, you can give him two options. Vijay Bhai can give him options. But it is up to him that what works for him. Because what worked for me, not necessarily will work for him. So it is very important. Why do we say players get better with age and maturity? Because they start realizing what their strengths are. And I unfortunately don't think he realizes what his strengths are at this point in time. Big hitting, yes, but selection, shot selection, ball selection. For example, he's got out to left arm spinner twice when they were bowling round the wicket, angled it away from them, and he was trying to hit it over mid wicket against the angle. So somebody needs to tell him that you cannot hit against the angle. As a 21-year-old, someone who's fearless will say, you know what, I can go against physics. I can go against science. But you can't go against physics. These are basic laws of nature. You can't go against that. You will be successful once, but you'll get out thrice after that. So these are things with age he will mature and he'll learn. I hope he keeps an open mind about whatever he's experiencing right now. Because what really happens, and I can speak from my experience, as soon as there's so much of negativity around you, you shut all doors and windows. You stop observing people and observing the right things around you. So right or wrong, you just negate everything. It's very important for someone like Rishabh at this point in time to keep those windows, shut the doors, but keep those windows open and be a little more analytical about whatever's coming your way. Take what works for you, leave what doesn't, and be a little more receptive about suggestions and all. You don't really have to listen to everything, but try them out, reason them out, ask questions. Because the biggest problem in our society is we don't ask questions to people who give us advice. Do this, but we don't say why. You know, that is at times believed to be disrespectful. But that's what people need to do. You need to ask why and learn. I think that's what he needs to do, is find his own way.
Well, we certainly hope that Rishabh Pant listened to whatever Deep Das Gupta had to tell him. He didn't reveal here, or maybe he did. We'll never know. There were some big questions on this episode about Shakib Ul Hasan, Bangladesh cricket, India's wicket-keeping conundrum, Rishabh Pant and MS Dhoni. Hope we have given you the answers, or some of the answers, for those big questions. Right, that brings us to the end of this week's episode. Thanks for listening as ever. We will be back soon with a new episode. We're taking a short break and we'll be back after the T20 series. Review those three matches as also build up to the two test match series between India and Bangladesh. Thanks to Vijay Lokpalli. Hopefully, I will see him at the first T20 in Delhi, and Deep Das Gupta will also be there, so we can have a group photo and post it on Twitter.
I also want to thank Vijay Bhai. It's always a pleasure talking cricket with you. He's been an absolute gem of a person and somebody who has a huge repertoire of knowledge in cricket. So thank you, Vijay Bhai, for joining us here.
Thank you, Vijay, sir, for joining us.
Thank you, Deep. I've learned a lot from you, boss. So, aisa nahi hai.
Thank you, Vijay, sir, for joining us today on this show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You can reach out to us on social media with your comments as well. We are on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn now. So, you can subscribe to this podcast hotspot there as well. Until next time, it is goodbye from all of us here.
Foley finishes off in style. A magnificent strike into the crowd. India lift the World Cup after 28 years.